You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Vancouver. It's whatever. Hip hop, R&B, jazz. It's whatever. Reggae, soul, mainstream. It's whatever. News, sports, and entertainment.
Class, shut up. Shut up and listen to me right now. This is Fred Schneider, and you're listening to CITR. Shut up and listen to this radio station. Now.
Yo, Bleak! Yo, Bleak! You coming out to play?
Where's the dynamo man?
Oh, no. Yo, Bleak! Anyway.
No, Bleak can come out.
I understand that. But this noise has got to stop.
All Bleak cares about is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh, so that is. I mean, just take a look around.
Bleak brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare out-of-print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries. Any static, take it up with Bleak.
Bleak, 2 E's, 1 K.
Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician. Well, a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
And welcome to Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Yes, I am DJ Bleak in with you tonight. We are live. Let me tell you what the plan is. Or maybe what the plan was. I've been talking, online, emailing back and forth with Mike Sniper of Blank Dogs. And set up an interview for this evening. Which may happen, but we really don't know. It's up in the air. So we're gonna play a couple tracks from Blank Dogs and side project Mayfair Set and Mr. Mike Sniper of Blank Dogs mentioned that Dee Dee from Dum Dum Girls may be in town with him, I guess in Brooklyn tonight, and so they might be calling me for a joint interview thing. We can interview them as Dum Dum Girls, Blank Dogs, and their side project, Mayfair Set, which is very lovely stuff. But I'm not convinced that it's going to happen since he hasn't returned my emails for a couple days, but they might surprise me. So let's see what happens. Anyway, from the Blank Dogs LP, Under and Under, this is the vinyl. This song is not on the CD release. It's called Landmarks from Blank Dogs Under and Under vinyl version on CIT. Oh.
Thank you.
And there you go. That is some Dumb Dumb Girls there with Long Hair. Before that, Mayfair Set and Three for Me from a new Mayfair Set EP called Young One. And starting the show with Blank Dogs Landmarks from Under and Under, the LP version. The vinyl LP version. And no call yet. So we'll keep monitoring the phones. In the meantime, let's hear some Cold Cave. A track called All the Summer Murders on Exquisite Corpse.
Thank you. Look at his face. Is this an album cover? Oh, this is Alviro.
Talking about my generation.
CITR 101.9 FM, in conjunction with the Vancouver Film Festival, present Discorama by Glacé. From 1959 to 1974, Denise Glacé's popular music program Discorama featured everyone who is anyone in French music, from Serge Gainsbourg and Charles Aznavour to Juliette Gréco and Johnny Hallyday. Esther Heffenberg's chronicle of the show is both a vividly entertaining film and an invaluable historical document. Discorama by Glacé, playing Thursday, October 1st at Van City Theatre, Sunday, October 4th at Pacific Cinémathèque, and Sunday, October 11th at Empire Granville. Brought to you by the Vancouver International Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
For those of you keeping score, no calls from Blank Dog's Mike Sniper. It's further souring me on the whole notion of interviews, which I haven't done for a while, and I thought, well, I'll interview my favorite band because they're worthy. Let's just keep it at that, shall we? And in the last segment there, we heard a Whirling Hall of Knives with Two Bar Heater and Smoke from Wiretapper number 21. Black Dice was in there with Chicken Shit from Repo. Black Dice release. Port Royal was in there with Nights in Kiev from their LP called Dying in Time. We heard Cold Cave in there with All the Summer Murders from Cremations, and here we are now at just after 8 o'clock. Here we're playing for you a track from Joshua Freed now. This is a different mix than I've played the last couple weeks of Jimmy Because. This comes from the 12-inch vinyl single right here at CITR.
My name is Just look. Let's. Look, my name is.
Thank you. Monday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates this outcry, this clamor. He creates this nightmare of noise.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He's a sonic mess, basically. The discordant notes are just a hubbub, a cacophony.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates a disturbance because he's basically disturbed.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
Basically, this is a worthless racket. The man is mentally incompetent.
For the most ear-splitting forays into noise, prog, early industrial, no wave, plunderphonic, psych, and altogether way out sound, tune into A Noise with your host Luke Meat every Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. A Noise, music that isn't in its right mind.
You're listening to Exquisite Corpse Radio, and for all of you tuned in tonight, because I told you Blank Dogs might be on, sorry, we will try to reschedule that, maybe at a time when, I don't know, a time of more convenience, perhaps. I won't be here next week. Ben will be featuring 24 hours of Radio Hell. The week after that, I expect to have an interview with Vicky Bennett of People Like Us, who is coming to town, and this is what I want to tell you about right now. Vancouver New Music is bringing a special event called Copyright Copy Left. New Music Festival, Copyright Copy Left. And starts on the 21st. It's at the Scotiabank Dance Center at 677 Davie Street. You can get tickets at Zulu Scratch. And tickets tonight.ca. Okay. Festival opening featuring Andrew O'Connor of Toronto, Jackson Two Bears of Victoria, and John Oswald that evening, and Plunderphonics pioneer John Oswald. You know him, you love him. You don't know him, you should love him. So that's all on the 21st, and the next day on the 22nd, you got Eric Hedeker of Vancouver with Analog DJ Extended Techniques in conjunction with 100% free as in speech software to create a shifting mass of sound. I don't know. DJ Tapes, right after that, I guess. Source materials ranging from original and dubbed cassettes, including everything from pop, music, noise, ambient field recordings, and books on tape, to her own original compositions. Chris Cutler, later on, co-founder of the Ottawa Music Company, a 22-piece rock composer's orchestra, ex-member of Henry Cow, and audio artist in his own right. And later on, Vicki Bennett, also known as People Like Us. For 18 years, Vicki Bennett has been working with multimedia under the name People Like Us. The output has consisted of 20 album releases, numerous singles, live sets, both solo and collaborations, remixes, a DVD, and over 150 radio shows. The art of People Like Us centers on the appropriating of sampling of works that exists with a previous context. This raw footage is sometimes recognizable in its own history and connotations, and sometimes obscure, abstract, or concrete sounds. So we're hearing some of Vicki Bennett with Ergo Fizmis in the background here. So. From their Honeysuckle Boulevard release. Then the next day we have on the 23rd next month, Sonarchy from Vancouver, Sonic Collage of Things, and then Holtzkopf with a mashup of jungle hip-hop, eardrum bursting feedback, and a healthy dose of psychedelia. Scanner comes in, a London-based artist. Scanner is at the forefront of new music, sampled by Bjork and Aphex Twin, admired by Stockhausen, etc., etc. And then David Shea from U.S. and Australia. I guess he's a dual citizen of some sort. His music centers on the possibilities of electronic and acoustic traditions, etc. So, then the next day, he got Mark Hostler of Negative Land. And his thing will be called Adventures in Illegal Art, Creative Media, Resistance, and Negative Land. Mark Hostler, of course, is from Negative Land, one of the founding members. And then Yuri Crane take the stage. He's a recontextualized music guy. And there's a lot of information to read here, so let me just tell you to go to newmusic.org, and you can find out a little bit more information on what's going on with some of that stuff. To close off the event, though, on Saturday, the 24th October, 2:30 p.m., there's a Scotiabank Dance Center discussion about copyright, copyleft, intellectual property rights, and art with Peter Hatch, Doug Horn, Mark Hostler, Martha Rands, and the Aja Rose Band. I always say band. I can never get that right. And moderated by Kate Milbury. So all that. Copyright, copyleft festival brought by the Vancouver New Music Festival. And next month, 21st through the 24th at the Scotiabank Dance Center. Once again, newmusic.org, place to go find out much more about that. I have, speaking of Scanner and this sort of stuff, I have Scanner on my computer in front of me right here. Scanner and a thing called Sounds of Love. This is transmitted on 13th February 2002 at BBC Radio Scotland, produced by Amanda Hargreaves. Sound design and everything else by Scanner. The internationally renowned sound artist Scanner has composed an enchanting musical feature using the extraordinary sounds of love to be found in nature. The music and wildlife is interwoven with the voices of four humans describing their own feelings about the sounds of love. So that'll be coming up pretty soon. Real soon. But first, we're going to get to our Olympic news. We do every week. So, from Vancouver Sun, September 23rd, by Jonathan Foley. Victoria, the British Columbia government hopes to have a law in place by early this winter allowing police, paramedics, and other officials to forcibly move homeless people off the street during extreme weather. Housing and Social Development Minister Rich Coleman said Monday. Coleman said the idea began to take shape in January after the death of a homeless woman known as Tracy, who burned to death while trying to keep warm on the streets of Vancouver's West End, actually. Coleman told reporters in Victoria the legislation is still being drafted, but vigorously dismissed the portion of a leaked internal document that said police would have the power to jail people if they were not accommodated at any shelters. And quote, "It's about time to get them, homeless people, to a place where we can show them what's available so they can make a decision, hopefully not to freeze," said Coleman. Why didn't I think of that? Adding the document in question was an early discussion paper, and the punitive elements of the proposal have been removed. "There's no movement to say we're going to take them to jail," he said. "There's no movement to say we're going to put them in a secure facility, for that matter." Coleman said the current proposal is to give police and others the power to forcibly take people to shelters only during extreme weather alerts, which are declared by each individual municipality. Oddly enough, I think that'll happen right around the game time, don't you think? He added that once at the shelter, people would be introduced to an outreach worker, but would be free to go even if they chose to return to the streets. "We can't compel people to stay, he said. If they go back on the street, that's their choice. Coleman said he expects only 5 or 6 people will be forced into shelters each year, mostly in Vancouver. Last year, Vancouver declared 37 extreme wet weather days, said Grant Gaiman, the city's extreme weather response coordinator. He said a number of considerations go into such a declaration, but the guiding principle is that conditions are severe, quote, "severe enough to pose a substantial risk to health and safety," unquote. Gaiman said he did not know how many people the police and other workers tried to persuade to go into a shelter last winter. On the night Tracy died, police and others repeatedly tried to get her into a shelter, but she refused. The proposal raised concerns from several quarters, with Tom Sanborn of the BC Civil Liberties Association saying it will only force those who don't want to be in a shelter to go into hiding. And, quote, "I don't think there's any reason to think that the legislation was brought in, that if this legislation was brought in, that it would really save lives," he said. Tom Sanborn said of the BC Civil Liberties Association. "This is a very bad idea," he also said. Wendy Peterson of the Carnegie Community Action Project agreed, saying the proposal is likely to affect vulnerable women the most. "Women will have to do sketchy deals with people to be able to find a place to sleep," she said. Sanborn also said that he believes the legislation is a measure to allow government to hide the full extent of Vancouver's homelessness problem during the 2010 Olympic Games. The cynic, quote, here's a quote, "the cynic would say it's to save the government's reputation," he said. "This looks like a way of making homelessness disappear," unquote. And Mayor Gregor Robertson said he's sympathetic to the new strategy, but also raised concerns about the new measures, that the new measures might violate the Charter of Rights. So that's just some of the news there from Vancouver Sun this week. And that's our Olympic news. Let's get right into some Scanner now. Here at Exquisite Corpse Radio, Scanner to the Sounds of Love. We told you about that. Here we are. Sounds of Love from Scanner on Exquisite Corpse Radio, CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Thank you.
is the sound of love. There's a lot of sounds actually within your own body. If you were to ask a doctor, a sort of physiologist, what is the sound of love, they might actually say it is the sound of the heart beating faster.
The sound of love. Gosh. Oh dear. Love.
It's not a very romantic day today. It's raining.
When I think of love, I think of something between two individuals, rather than, I can imagine maybe somebody thinking of the love of a sport or a painting. I think my most vivid memory, the most special time for me, was feeding my baby at night when everybody else was asleep, and it was almost the silence, if you like, and I suppose then you become so much more aware of the individual sounds that a child makes, and he always fed very well at night, very peaceful, and it's the little sort of snuffling, contented noises that a baby makes. It's something that you need to have a child to understand, but it's a very, very special, close time.
One aspect of the sound of love for me is a gentleness, say the way we speak to children often. And the thing we're most familiar with in Scotland is, and I suppose this is universal, is the sound of the lullaby. And what we'll sing to a child to console a child, which is usually a little kind of rhythmic chant of some sort, which might even take the form of a "hush, little baby, don't you cry" kind of repeated, often a 3-4 beat, like a waltz. And I think that this kind of beat repeated is something that enters into the human system and has a very definite effect on it and calms it down, and perhaps even, some people speculate, it changes the kind of rhythms that we have in our brain.
The guitar is quite a big thing in my life, in between spells of sitting writing at a desk. And there's a piece of music by Django Reinhardt, which is called Love's Melody. Well, Reinhardt was a gypsy. There's an element of wildness in it, which is just very slightly undisciplined. And in addition to all the wonderful musical attributes that it also has this element of wildness. And there are times where it's like water over stones. It brings into my head the idea of the two things I have loved all my life, which are music and the very land of Scotland itself and its wildness. And the land absolutely for its own sake, rather than for anything that anybody can get out of it.
Yeah.
Sounds can be very emotional. There's a language of emotionality in ordinary sounds. And for a radio producer, the sounds of the world are like the soundtrack of the film of your life, which sounds a bit fanciful, but sometimes you can hear sounds that are so, seem to be so in tune with what you're thinking. It's like you're transported from this world into this sort of other world, which could be a film, or it could be just some other version of the world that we're living in. Which is a bit like, when you think about it, when you're in love, there is a feeling that nothing is real, or the world that the people who are not in love are living in is not as good a version as the world that you're in. You don't exactly feel sorry for those people in that sort of very humdrum world. You just recognize that you're in a better place. And sounds are a way to step from banality into something bigger. Sounds are a way to step from banality into something bigger.
The sound of love. Those particular sounds that men make. A sort of, it's almost, you know how elephants have this. I remember listening to a program where it was shown that elephants communicate at this very, with these very, very low level sounds that the human ear can't detect, and that this conversation is going on between these elephants. It's incredible. It's a rumble, if you like, this sort of. And I'm sure whales communicate with these very low frequencies as well. And especially, I think the low frequencies travel fantastic distances, miles and miles beyond the high frequency sounds. And men can make noises like that. This sort of deep rumble in their chests. I'd never have thought it was possible for a man to make a noise like that.
In terms of the different kinds of wildnesses that I have come to love over the years as a writer, I've done a tremendous amount of work with swans. There's a loch not far from where I live in Highland Perthshire, Glendochart, and it's a place where the Hooper swans come in, usually in October, November, and stay through the winter. And I love to go along there at night, and I just simply listen to the birds, because you see very little more than white shadows in a very dark sort of background. But there's this lovely sort of muttering conversation goes on all night. I mean, the birds really doze through the night, and they move around all the time. And this little sort of ragbag concerto of very soft, brassy calls just moves around the loch the whole time. And it will very often echo because of the cliffs at the back of the loch. And it's a lovely thing to just sit for an hour late in the evening when it's very, very quiet. And this noise is really the only indication that there's another presence out there. Thank you.
The other day I was walking up Flesh Market Close, and they're doing some renovation work at the moment in the old Scotsman building. And Flesh Market Close just goes up the back of the Scotsman. It's one of those very narrow closes. It's quite echoey there. And I could hear this sound of... It sounded like this heart-rending opera. The final scenes of the fat lady dying. And it was Wagnerian. It was immense. It was a huge sound. And it was coming from inside the Scotsman. It was very human. And I'm not quite sure why it sounded so human. It was the honesty of the sound. This was not a person faking it. This was real.
If you listen to somebody singing something in a language that you don't understand, but also singing in a modality that you don't know, that your ear isn't accustomed to, it can sound very, very harsh and disruptive and cacophonous. But then you might discover that actually, once it's translated, that this person is saying, "Your eyes are so beautiful, your hair is so lovely, I cannot live without you, please come and be with me." But they're not saying it the way we would say it. So you always have to take into consideration association, cultural conditioning. What does the sound of the bagpipe mean to different people? You know, to an American tourist, the sound of the bagpipe means one thing. To somebody working in an office up above it in Princess Street, it means something totally different.
Into something bigger.
The sound of love. Gosh. Oh dear.
When I got to the door of the Scotsman office and looked in, it was just this builder bloke with a circular saw, and he's cutting up a big sheet of MDF, and it was, the MDF was sort of flopping about, and the circular saw was making this screaming noise, and there was no heartbreak. He was making a door for a fire extinguisher or something. I mean, who knows what he was doing? It was totally ordinary.
There was a little incident that happened a couple of years ago with a pair of swans I've been watching for a dozen years. It's a long-established pairing. I mean, the male bird, the cob, must be about certainly 20 years old, and his mate at the time was certainly 15 years old that I knew of. In the last few days of her life, I didn't realise at the time that she was dying, but she'd actually been driven out of her territory by her own mate, and a new bird had come in, and so much for the idea that swans mate for life. But there was this remarkable moment where I could call her from anything up to about half a mile away if conditions were right, and whatever she was doing, her head would go up and she would come and swim over. I used to shout, "Come on, swan," which sounds terribly unromantic, but it used to work. After she'd been driven out, I stopped. That communication just went completely, so that if she saw me, she would swim away as if I was somehow part of the conspiracy. Very late in her life, she started to respond to the old call again. She came in one day when I was sitting right at the edge of the loch where they nested, and she fed from my hand for a few minutes, and then she went back out and sat in the water, and she was no more than about 10 feet away. It was a very warm day, and very slowly, over 2-3 minutes, her head went further and further back down onto her spine, and her eyes closed, and she actually slept in my shadow for about 10 minutes. And that very simple, almost final gesture was something which prompted feelings in me which I hadn't really encountered before in terms of a relationship with a wild creature.
Something that might sound very harsh and disruptive can be actually full of love. In order for love to come out, it can't always be in a kind of genteel way or a gentle way or an acceptable way. Sometimes love has to come out in a fury, in a passion. You find that in drama improvisation, you know, when you have a number of people working together in a workshop, making things up in drama, that often the drama will go through stages where it's very stiff and everybody's a bit inhibited, and then it will become quite aggressive and quite a lot of combat in it. Often a lot of swearing, cursing and swearing goes on, which people are often astonished by if they're not used to this kind of process. But at the other end of all of that struggle, there comes a harmony, a flow. Flow, the word flow, the word love, these are all circulating around the same areas of experience. But to get to them, sometimes you can't just switch them on. You know, they're not shortbread that you can take out of a tin. Sometimes they have to really be pushed out of the system, and there's quite a lot of pain involved to get through to the moment of I love you. Come on.
human beings are almost afraid to allow their instincts to run away with them. I think the sounds of lovemaking, when they're uninhibited, have an animal quality to them that would probably frighten most people if they could hear themselves. But it's rather wonderful in a way. People must have been making those sounds long before they ever had any words to express the way they felt. And those must be the most pure sounds of love there are, I suppose.
Up a bit now. I do believe actually that there is this internal emotional language in sounds, but this is not the noise of love. This is just the noise of rain on an umbrella.
Chop down my vegetables. I love vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies. It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce. It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems. Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply. Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right out. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
And here we are. CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Just heard a Scanner there, a long track of sound collage, field recordings and whatnot, Sounds of Love. That was from Ubu.com. Ubu, a website with art, experimental arts and avant-garde arts in visual and sound and video. If you go there, you'll be amazed by what you will find. And I forgot to tell you, back there, a while back, we heard we heard Offset Needle versus Nickname Rebel with Print Through. That was after Joshua Freed's Jimmy Because Deluxe remix. And it's time to head out of here. Thunderbird Radio Hell is next. It's a pre-recorded event this time, because next week there'll be 24 hours of Thunderbird Radio Hell. So stay tuned for that. Next week, Saturday, I won't be here. So enjoy what you get. We'll try to reschedule the Blank Dogs interview, and we should also have a Vicky Bennett, a.k.a. People Like Us, interview coming up maybe the same day. Let's see if we can pre-record those things. Just make sure they happen. And I'm going to leave you with Tones on Tail, which makes me happy. This is A Bigger Splash on Exquisite Corpse Radio. Until next week, remember, the future is bleak. Good night. Thank you.
Thanks.